Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy.
And I'm Sarah Riven.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government.
Today, we'll be discussing the top stories for the week of March 27th, including licensing firsts in Utah and Nova Scotia, and the increased use of emergency teacher licenses.
Sarah, Utah made news this week for new moves around physician assistant licensure. What's going on there?
Utah was the first state to enact the Physician Assistant Licensure Compact. On March 14th, Utah Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill to adopt the compact, a multi-state contract to recognize physician assistant licenses from other states who participate. Seven states must also enact the licensure compact with the exact same language for it to become active.
What has led to this?
Utah's shortage of physicians is worse than the national average. Now, there is some controversy regarding authority physicians and physician assistants each have. During COVID-19, more than 20 states broadened the independence of physician assistants, including granting more prescribing authority and eliminating requirements that doctors co-sign medical charts. Many of these measures were temporary, but Utah and Wyoming were two states that made them permanent, trying to alleviate that shortage.
What's next?
As I previously mentioned, seven states must also enact the PA licensure compact for it to become active. While Utah is the first state to adopt it, several other states are considering legislation to join in, including Texas, Minnesota, Ohio, and Rhode Island. So a lot hinges on the outcomes of those proposals. Paul, I understand Nova Scotia has a licensing first of its own.
That's right. Nova Scotia's nursing regulator announced a new registration and licensing process for those looking to practice in the province. The Nova Scotia College of Nursing is going to allow nurses who demonstrate good standing and good character and are licensed in Canada and certain other jurisdictions to be immediately eligible for a license with no additional requirements other than passing the entrance exam. According to the college's press release, the new approach will reduce the overall application process timeline from 5 days to 24 hours, and it will reduce the overall process timeline for international nurses in good standing from the Philippines, India, Nigeria, US, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand from over a year where it is now to just a few weeks.
Why these regions in particular?
College CEO and Registrar Sue Smith told CTV News, nurses from these seven specific countries have a very similar scope of practice to nurses in Nova Scotia. Also, 87% of the college's international applicants come from these jurisdictions in the first place.
When would this come into effect?
The college says the new approach will come into effect in just a few weeks, adding that it will be fast and predictable. Although all applicants for licensure in Nova Scotia will still have to pass that national entry to practice exam that's mandatory, they will be able to practice immediately with a conditional license while they wait to successfully complete that exam. So that means we could see international applicants in hospitals bypassing traditional requirements as early as this spring. Sarah, I feel like there's news around teacher licensure just about every week, but this time it's for a different reason. What can you tell us about that?
According to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, Wisconsin schools are increasingly turning to emergency licenses to address teacher shortages, and some are using those licenses longer than may have been intended. The Department of Public Instruction issued 3,197 emergency licenses to teach in Wisconsin in the 2021 to 2022 school year, and that's up 184% from the 2012 to 2013 school year. These emergency licenses can be used by teachers, counselors, social workers, librarians, and school administrators. Emergency licenses are especially valuable in certain scenarios, such as for teachers who have moved to Wisconsin from another state where they are licensed but have required coursework to complete in the state before they can receive a permanent license. An emergency license can also help an employee transition to a new position while they work toward a full license.
Does the report explain why there is an increased use of emergency licenses?
The use of emergency licenses does not necessarily indicate a problem in a district, but the rapid growth in emergency certifications raises questions about whether emergency licenses have outgrown their original intention. Three types of licenses are accounting for the increase: special education, regular education, and elementary and middle education. Because these licenses are intended to be used by career teachers for multiple years, the report says the increase in emergency licenses suggests a growing number of teachers are entering classrooms before they meet the requirements for regular licenses.
Does the report make any prescriptions for how Wisconsin should proceed?
The report's authors hope the information will be used by officials and policymakers addressing ongoing teacher shortages, as well as informing discussions around school funding and teacher pipeline. The report recommends the state and districts work to ensure new hires with limited or no classroom experience receive meaningful mentorship and effective training. So, Paul, I heard Arkansas made news in a recent report on occupational licensing.
That's right. A new state occupational licensing index from the Archbridge Institute, that's a think tank based in D.C., found that Arkansas had the most occupational licensure in the nation. Was followed by Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Washington. At the very bottom of the list were Colorado, Indiana, Wyoming, Missouri, and Kansas, which had the fewest barriers. Authors of the report looked at what was required for 345 occupations in all 50 states and DC.
How did researchers assess how much licensure a state has?
The index takes into account total barriers and total licenses. It defines a barrier as all of those tasks associated with an occupational title and that are restricted by an occupational license, whereas a license is considered to be an explicit license for one occupational title. This index looked at both of them. Noah Trudeau, who's an assistant professor of economics at St. Francis University and a co-author of the index, noted that licensing can impact both economic mobility and physical mobility for workers. As we know, it's something we talk about every week. He also said that performing well in economic freedom doesn't necessarily mean a state is likely to license fewer occupations. He adds that Texas and Oklahoma both rank in the most free quartile of the 2022 Economic Freedom of North America Index, while also ranking in the most heavily barriered quintile of this index, showing us that states that are considered more free aren't necessarily the least licensed states. Well, I think that's all we have for you this week. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah.
Don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Week in Brief. That's the latest news on licensure and digital government right to your inbox. The link is in the show notes. And while you're at it, subscribe to Ascend Radio. Thanks, everyone.